in on Canuck Central Hour number two here on the program. Again, a bit of the developing news around the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, they signed Kevin Lankinen today to a five-year extension, but tomorrow they get back to action. First game in 2 weeks, and likely to be without Quinn Hughes, who's still injured per Rick Tocchet, and also Elias Pettersson is day-to-day with an injury suffered at the Four Nations. So you'll have to be tuned in tomorrow to see what's going on. We'll have pregame at 6 o'clock going into a big game against Vegas, who's also going to be banged up as well. No Shea Theodore, obviously, for them. Still missing William Karlsson. They would have had a couple of guys that played in the final as well. So still a big game, though, with the Canucks very much on the bubble of the playoffs.
Yeah, huge game coming up. I'm excited for the games. It's just, you know, the more time goes by, the more things stay the same. So it's just, you know, ho-hum.
Yeah, kind of a lot of the same for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll keep an eye on that as it continues to develop. But let's get to the mailbag here on Canuck Central. It's a Friday. Your questions here for us. Sat will put out a prompt for you to answer or ask questions. We actually got a question yesterday at Boston Pizza. One of our listeners came up to us and said that he listens often on podcasts and would love to interact with the show, but doesn't often get to because he's unable to listen live, which, Sat, you mentioned, hey, send in a question for the mailbag, and that's the way you can interact with the show, or send us a note once you've listened, and maybe we'll find a way to get to it on the show via Twitter or Instagram or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's an easy way to do it, and we'll do our best to get it in for overrated, underrated, and the mailbag.
We'll find you.
Yes. More questions for the mailbag. We always look for more questions. Yeah, all right, Josh.
We don't always get to all of them, but we get to as many as we can.
There's a lot. We'll start with this one from the Rick Dollywall. Crickets when it comes to Brock Besser contract talks. Why is that?
Well, is it because he has wonderful hair?
Because he's got the flow?
He's got the flow.
I don't know.
So there's some jealousy involved here. You know?
He needs
some FOMO.
Yeah. Needs the Canucks to come up from their number so that he can maintain the flow.
No, like, you know, they got a lot of bald people with the Canucks. They're like, you know what? No, we're not quite sure we want to commit to this guy with the flow. No, I'm just joking about that. But I think the biggest thing with, and we talked about this a bit yesterday. I think the Canucks want Besser at a number that he's probably uncomfortable with.
Mm.
And until that changes, you know, and I still think again before we get to the trade deadline, there will be at least one run at it here. We'll see if they can bridge that gap.
I mean, they've come up to Lankinen's number. They didn't really hesitate with Marcus Pettersson, who, you know, sure, maybe Pettersson could have gotten $6 million on the open market, but it's kind of the going rate for Marcus Pettersson.
And I think it's also like how they want to build the team. And also, like we said a bit earlier, if you look at the amount of money the Canucks have, if they sign Besser, even if they move Soucy, they'd have some money to go do other things. But like you're making, your biggest commitment could be Besser. This offseason, out of all the things you might do, the biggest contract you might give up might be to Besser. And if you're looking to still raise your ceiling, how comfortable are you with that unless you can still clear some more money? I think they will clear more money, so I think this is very fluid still, but I think that's where it's at.
Seems fairly obvious. Besser's number still a little bit too high, and Canucks not yet willing to go up to that number, or Besser not willing to come down to their number, and this is the stalemate that currently exists.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of keeping him as your own rental, though.
No, neither am I.
Yeah.
Not for a asset-poor organization as the Canucks are right now. All right, what's next?
Next one from Blue Line Bar Down. What top six forward do you think the Canucks should target in a trade or free agency?
Well, there's not a ton in free agency, but I'm not too opposed to Sam Bennett should he get there.
Yeah, I think you, a lot of Canucks fans.
He was good,
he
man.
He was great, man. Like, and he's the type of player you win with.
Yeah.
You know, you want him in the playoffs, and I do think you have to be careful with what you're expecting from him. If you sign Bennett, don't expect him to come in here and be a 30-goal guy, 70-point player. Yeah. He's having a really good year this season, right?
But he's going to get the kind of money that
somebody doing those things might, you know.
You want, you might want those kinds of numbers, though. The production, I feel like the production isn't going to match his ultimate value.
You know what? It's interesting. Like, I think him and Kadri have some similarities in so far as they're talented guys who can do different things. I'd say Kadri is more talented offensively. I think Bennett is more effective away from the puck. And I think Kadri is actually very effective away from the puck. And he's matured a lot. I think Bennett has gone through his maturing process. But I think they're kind of in the same, they've been in the same category. Kadri's not older, but if you look at like prime Kadri, I think Bennett has more of a physical impact.
Yeah.
But these are rare players to have, right? Like, and you saw how good Kadri was for the Avs when they won the Stanley Cup. You saw how good Bennett was for
that was a peak year that he got paid on, though. He had like 87 points, was great in the postseason.
But my point
won
is,
the Stanley Cup.
For sure. He got 7x7, though.
Yeah.
Now he's a bit older. Yeah. So is somebody going to throw that type of money at Sam Bennett? And that's where, if you look at it from his comparisons and comparables for what he should get paid, it shouldn't be in the $7 million range.
Yeah.
But does that happen? Because look at the free agent market and what a rare archetype he is as a player. But I'm with you. I'm a big Sam Bennett fan, but you also have to be, you have to also acknowledge if you're getting Sam Bennett, he's probably not going to solve your scoring issues.
No.
He helps you, but he's not going to be a catalyst line driving point producing player. And that's a lot of money to pay for a guy who's not a catalyst line driving player.
He might be at or right around his career highs point-wise this year. He's at 35 points. His career high is 49. So it's not great, huge numbers. And a player that might be able to command more than $7 million per season on the open market because of all the other things that he does so well. And is probably going to be, I mean, he played his way. People were questioning if he was right to play or to be picked for Team Canada. I think he did a lot to go towards his spot on the Olympic roster with the way that he played in this Four Nations tournament. All right, what's next?
Next one from Vanley. What did the Canucks see that's out there in free agency this summer that they'd rather give Brock's money to instead if they did not sign him?
I think there's only, if you're looking at the Brock money, you're talking about 7 to 8 million plus. To me, there's only really four guys that fit that category.
Yeah.
It's Rantanen and Marner, who, again, unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Bennett fits in, but again, we just talked about him. The other one is Nick Ehlers.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Like, I don't look at John
Everybody
Tavares.
Everybody else is a bit of a tier below.
Right? I don't look at John Tavares as that. Like, and he's probably not leaving anyways.
Tavares is going to sign a below-market deal probably to stay in Toronto.
Something along those lines.
Marchand's probably not leaving Boston.
No.
So there's that. Claude Giroux is going to be a free agent. He's probably...
But again, that's not the same caliber, right? Like,
no.
He's not the same player he once was.
He's 37, so...
Yeah.
it's still up in the air if he's even going to play, though he's still good enough to keep playing.
So I don't know if there's a target, like targets in free agency that are all that realistic that you're like, you know what, we can let Besser walk and we'll find another guy in free agency. Because if you're not doing that and you look into the secondary market, then it's like guys like Gustav Nyquist on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
They might do stuff like that, but that's just kicking the can down the road. Someone texts in offer sheets. I think that could be interesting if you go down that route and look at some RFAs potentially here. But like there aren't the UFAs. There aren't a ton. And most of those guys might not even make it there.
And even Rantanen, like Rantanen and Marner, still unlikely to make it there. That's why I keep saying with Brock, like the situation doesn't look ideal for Brock to really hit a home run in free agency. But if Rantanen and Marner both get locked in to situations, and Brock's out there as like the best winger on the market, you know, that's where a guy like Brock gets overpaid in free agency.
Yeah, he does.
Or that's how a guy like Brock gets overpaid in free agency.
Yeah, but that's in free agency, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there aren't a ton of those options. You know, Jordan and Ridge, like, what about trading Brock for Rantanen? Because Carolina would give Brock the money. I don't think they would do that, Carolina. They give up Natchez, who's significantly better than Brock, to get Rantanen, who had another year left on his contract. Like,
that does leads into the next question from Michael. If Rantanen is available, would you flip Pettersson for him?
Oof. Do Petey straight up for Rantanen?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe there's stuff on either side, but Michael's framing is straight.
Sure, yeah.
If Rantanen is hell-bent on testing free agency, though.
Well, no, again, like, this is all contingent on keeping Rantanen from you.
Yeah, under the assumption that you're probably going to pay Rantanen more than Pettersson, but he is going
to
sign.
Well, you'd almost have to move Pettersson in that deal because Rantanen's going to cost so much.
Yeah, I would do that.
The problem is, like, then you're going to have Rantanen at $14 million or more, and not have a true number one center to play with him.
Is Pettersson a true number one center?
Filipino's
the guy.
Filipino time.
I mean,
like, are you getting the most out of Rantanen if he's your guy driving your top line?
Probably. I mean, it's Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, I know. It's really good.
We're not talking about, you know, some scrub, right? Like, because if you're trading Pettersson, I'm doing this based on the assumption that, you know, they're serious about potentially moving him. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to get a high-end player, like, are you getting a better player than Rantanen back in return if you're trading Pettersson? You know what I mean? Like, you're probably not getting... If you're trading Pettersson, you're probably not getting anything better than Rantanen. Again, this is all hypothetical. It's not realistic. It's just a question to the mailbag. That's all. But, yeah.
Yeah. I doubt it. The other thing I would say about Brock, too, is... this is why I have such a problem of him being your own rental, because there's such a lack of options out in free agency. If you're not keeping Brock, you're probably going to need that asset to go out and trade for somebody to fill or help replace Brock's goals and all the minutes that he plays on the roster. So it's just all these questions. The free agent market isn't all that glamorous is what we're finding out right now.
Next one from Dunux. How much trade value did Pettersson lose at the Four Nations?
Not much.
Yeah, I don't think it changed too much. Now, I do think every game and every moment that's significant and he struggles in probably makes it less likely for some teams. Like, if a team was kind of on the fence about being there,
right,
and then what they saw in the Four Nations, now he's day-to-day, like, they might just be like, yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it changed his value, but I think, you know, maybe some teams that were on the fence might just be like, well, I'll just hold off.
I think the other part of it, too, is more people around the league get a close look at what's going on, potentially, with Pettersson, too. And so that might not help his trade situation on top of everything else. It's a really difficult situation for the Vancouver Canucks. You're getting to a point where... Like, I don't know if you get into the summer and you're still hoping to get an elite player back in return. That might not be available for you, so your best bet might end up being betting on Pettersson to bounce back from all of this.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to read that question from Eric? He has a long question, or no? I'll just kind of answer it here.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, Eric was asking, what would you do with Pettersson here? Realistically, like, I just hold on to him because I don't see a better trade. Like, and it's not that I feel good about it. It's more about everything you just mentioned. You're worse off just dumping him, I think. And especially if you're doing it, because I don't think you're dumping him just to get the money off completely. Like, you have to take something back. And if you have to take something back...
You can't do the Dubois for Kemper trade.
But I don't even think...
You know?
But even the Dubois for Kemper trade, you're taking on a contract for a goalie, like, for a few years. That's $5
million. Yeah.
Like, it's not like they took back nothing. Like, it's still a significant contract for a couple of years. Like, it's still eating away cap space for you.
And who'd that trade work out? I mean, it's worked out for both teams so far, but, like...
It's mostly worked out for Washington.
Dubois has been a great fit for Washington.
Yeah, and the Kings are fine, but the Kings are still down trying to find a player like Dubois.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to find a player like Dubois to begin with. It didn't work out, so they need to find another one, right?
Yes.
Because so, like, they're back in the same spot they've been in, and they don't have a ton of their prospects working out anyways. But I digress on the Kings. But I do think that puts the Canucks in a position where you're not getting a good trade. I don't think you are. The only way you're getting a good trade is if Pettersson plays well.
Yeah.
And until he plays well, I don't want to lose a trade. Like, as hard as it is, like, I just roll the dice and try to figure it out with him, as opposed to just giving up for nothing. The thing that we have to be so careful about, especially now that JT's been traded...
Yeah,
you get the, like, so losing JT, and Hedl's been great, but if you don't end up replacing JT, you can make it up in aggregate by saying the defense is better, this guy fits better, chemistry is better, now you have other guys getting opportunities, great. But if Pettersson gets traded and they don't find another number one center, it's cooked.
Yeah,
it's cooked. Like, you have no chance of being a cup contender. The only way you have a chance of being a cup contender is finding a number one center, and if you're not getting that in a Pettersson trade, there are none in free agency. Drafting takes years. You can kiss Quinn Hughes goodbye.
Yeah.
It's a really tough spot with Pettersson. So I think that's where I find myself reached, where if you're not finding great value, Rantanen, sure. I don't think that's realistic, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I just ride it out, as hard as that is. And maybe I have to sink with the boat.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where you find yourself. Like, I think making a bad trade and losing any upside sinks you more. It might make you feel better in the moment. But if your ceiling isn't getting any higher, again, Quinn's not staying here long term. And Quinn might be on board to trade Pettersson, but you still have to get that trade right.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Quinn or whomever might be like, yeah, get rid of these guys. But if you come back with a worse hockey team, he's piecing anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, you got to make the right move.
Oh, well, you traded him now. Now I don't see any pathway towards winning here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was silly, you guys. Why'd you do that?
Why'd you make that trade, right?
Yeah. It's really tough, man. Like, as I've said, you have to hope Pettersson goes into the summer and is able to correct whatever it is that's ailing him. He's got to be able to build back some of his explosiveness. Jim Rutherford alluded to Pettersson realizing that he's got to do things differently, that he's got to, as I'm paraphrasing, work harder to be more prepared for next season. And you got to hope that he takes that into the summer and really wants to make the most of next season, because this season right now is a wash, and I don't see it coming back for Elias Pettersson this year.
Next one from 604 Adam. Thoughts on trading Pugh Suter? Not a lot of talk about him, but he would be a prime candidate for contending teams.
What are you getting for Pugh Suter?
Could you get a second round pick?
No.
You don't think so?
I think you could get a second round
Why
pick. He plays heavy minutes on the PK.
Okay.
Plays a matchup role. Okay. Gets a decent amount of points. Can play in your top six, middle six. To me, it's like a guy that usually goes for a late second rounder around the deadline.
Do they, though? I don't know. I think guys like him go for like third round picks.
I think if you got a third, you're also getting like a meh prospect.
I don't know. So like Tyler Toffoli got traded to the Canucks for a third, for a second round pick and Madden.
But Madden was pretty hyped up.
He was decent, but he wasn't even that hyped up. But he was like, you know, he's decently hyped up. At least locally in Vancouver was, right? But that's a guy that's like a proven goal scorer. Now, a bit of a down year, but that's kind of what he went for as a rental. Now, there have been other trades. I see what you're saying, but I think there's going to be enough options in the trade market where a guy like Suter doesn't go for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong. So I think you might get a third. And hey, I think a third round pick is valuable, but it's fine. But I think I don't know if it's worth trading him and just taking the pick for the sake of taking the pick. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is not very compelling. If you're out of the playoffs, sure, yeah, trade him and take the pick.
I'm a lot more comfortable with using him as your own rental.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I don't think you're getting a first round pick. I think it's dicey that you would get a second round pick. And he does have 14 goals, and he's, you know, he's the Swiss Army knife because he's Swiss.
Yeah.
You know, and he does a lot of different things. He can play center, he can play the wing, plays on the PK, can do spot duty on your top power play unit if you get through some injuries, and he can fit in a lot of different spots.
But at the end of the day, he's also not a big player,
no,
right? He's not a fast player, and he's not big.
But he can play matchup minutes. Like I said,
he can play matchup
minutes.
He's
the Swiss Army knife. He does a lot of different things well.
My point is, if you're giving up a second round pick for a guy, I think you're giving it up to somebody who's going to play a significant, crucial role for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trading for Pugh Suter for him to be your matchup guy in the playoffs?
Probably not.
Right. And like, I don't think he's your matchup guy in the playoffs anyways if you're trying to be a cup contender. I think he's a very useful, nice player. I just don't see the value being compelling enough where I think they have to move him.
Next one comes from... Sorry, I lost it. Taj, what percentage would you put on Rick Tocchet returning next season?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I've been thinking about this one because I saw it. I'm like, I know Josh is going to read this one.
It's a fun question.
Yeah, it's a fun question. I've been thinking about it. Literally, I've been thinking about it all day. I even made asking around a little bit. And it's very clear that there is no... There's no certainty that he's going to stay here.
I mean, Patrick Alvin's like two-way street comment is something I can't get out of my head.
Yeah. So I think it's still very much undetermined. And I don't want to be pessimistic and say, like, I don't think he's coming back. But if I had to shade, if you put something to my head,
yeah,
and said you have to make a decision, mm-hmm, I'd probably say no.
Wow.
You just won the Jack Adams.
No, I know.
Yeah. And
he could, again, he is a Team Canada coach now. He would have his pick of opportunities that may come available. He could go back to TV and make decent money that way. So, like, that's the thing about Tocchet. He's got options, and that's what makes this very unclear. I'd still say, like, I wouldn't put it at a high percentage, but I'd still put it above 50. I'm gonna say 63%.
Okay, I put it at 48 that he's back.
Mm.
So close to 50. Yeah. So, follow-up question from me. What is there like a... What type of impact does this have around the league if Rick Tocchet is like, hey, you know what? I don't want to be the coach of Vancouver anymore. Like, what does that do for the Canucks' reputation?
I mean, it doesn't help.
It doesn't help, for sure.
I don't know if the Canucks have never been a team, at least so far. And maybe John Tortorella was the exception under this ownership where they went and like got a big name, brand name head coach that was going to cost a lot of money. Like they haven't done that, generally speaking. So I don't know if the change is that, like, because if Talk doesn't come back, like, I don't know if they're going to go after a big name coach that's going to be making a lot of money. You know, like, I don't know if that's what they're going to be going after anyways.
Well, that's the thing about Talk too, is like he can command top of the market money as a coach.
Yes.
Which makes it a little bit more of a tricky negotiation as well. And also, like, I don't know what it does for the Canucks reputation, but it's because you rarely do see coaches say, I'm not doing this anymore. I think Paul Maurice is the most recent example of,
but
like,
that was he was there for a long time.
He was there for a long time. But I do know that, like, around the league, there are teams that would consider getting and axing their current head coach if Rick Tocchet were to become available. So there is that part of the equation on top of this.
All right, next
one. Can't
wait
to get radioed for that, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Next one. We don't usually do this, but it's an audio question.
Mm. Audio question.
Audio question.
We have the capability, by the way.
We should do this more often.
And people can send them in.
They can. Like, if you send us a voice notes, like, to text them box, like, we can actually play it for you.
Yeah. New technology.
Love that.
So so this one, it's about Four Nations. It is from Mar-a-Lago Man 4547. Here it is.
Okay.
Hello, Dan, Seth, producer Josh. So good to be here. I'm just so curious if the Americans, we deserve to win. Yes, we did. We deserve to win. We deserve to win 10-0, 20-30-0. When you look at the icing call, it was so bad, so bad. If we had the icing call, we would have scored two goals in overtime. It's never been done before.
No,
the final score would have been 1-2,000,000,000, and we didn't have Quinn. Oh, Quinn. Quinny Quinn, we didn't have Quinn, and we would have had Wayne Gretzky, good friend. He would have come, and then we would have had, between the two of them, Quinn had 100, Wayne had 4,000, we would have had 4,100,000 points against Canada's 2. Oh, the things we could have done. I also hear that up there at your nation, your sports radio station, you have Elon. You have an Elon. I have an Elon. I have an Elon problem. I hear your Elon's very fantastic, very handsome, very, very.
That was Mar-a-Lago Man, 4547.
I'm sure it was.
Is there even a question?
it was. Did the U.S. deserve to win?
When?
Yeah, he answered his own question.
Yeah, he did.
I just want to say I love our listeners.
Yeah, that's
great.
That was something.
And our listeners with a special delivery today.
I was not expecting that.
Anyway, we'll end with this one from Daxter.
Daxter.
Is this Dexter Morgan? Who's that? Who else is,
I don't know,
else is
I
calling
don't know.
In now? Dexter from Florida?
This one. What changes would you make to Canada's roster for 2026? We'll end with this one.
Is it going to be Binnington? Are you going to say Binnington?
No, man. Binnington's the starter next year. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. What's the change? I kind of want Tom Wilson on the team next year. I got to be honest. I kind of want Tom Wilson on the team.
Is there things you would do to have Tom Wilson on the roster?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It would be nice to have Tom Wilson on the roster.
I'm still rattled, man.
I can see that, because what I just said completely went over your head.
I have no idea what you just said.
Tom Wilson is the easy answer. I think, honestly,
now I get the Paul Bissonnette thing. I get
yes. Yeah. Okay. Good.
It took me a minute. I
get it. still stunned by Mar-a-Lago Man.
Connor Bedard would be on the roster for me next year.
Connor Bedard?
Yeah.
Celebrini?
I think they're both shouts for the roster. I think I'd change up the defense a little bit next year. I probably have Evan Bouchard on the team next year. And I don't know. I think there's a defenseman to emerge, because I'm not sure Drew Doughty is a lock for my roster next year. I mean, he was fine in the tournament. They still won.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure he gives Canada the best possible ceiling at his age.
Yeah.
So I'd be looking at some different options. And Evan Bouchard would be one of those, Connor Bedard the other.
Bouchard?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
So that's just like,
no, I'm good. No, he's not playing any right. power play, so I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. We can agree to disagree. We have Yannick Hansen coming up next here on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Yannick Hansen, our Friday analyst, next on Sports at 650.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.